Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, welcome to Camper Captains. Alex, what have you got prepared for us?
Nothing. What do you have prepared?
You find out about 15 seconds ago that we were doing Camper
Captains. Oh, yes. I just read an Agatha Christie and, hold on. Let me, cut me off whenever you're ready.
You got nothing. No, I read an Agatha Christie, so I thought it's, it would be good to do a little. We haven't done this in like a year. It's Christmas time. I thought I'd do a little bonus. So it's Caper Captains. Evil Under the Sun is the name of the book I read. And this is a Poirot. We open in the Jolly Roger Hotel, and they have some guests, including one VIP, Hercule Poirot. There are some bathers on the beach and some non-bathers on the terrace talking about the news. And there's a Mrs. Gardner, who is an American guest, and she's talking a lot to Poirot. And she has this husband who just says, yes, darling, to everything. And she just says, Mr. Gardner says this and this and this, and he just, yes, darling. And, she just talks nonstop, and all he ever does is agree.
Yes.
And they complain about young people nowadays. And Poirot says, all these bodies on the beach, it's almost like bodies in a morgue. So, way to bring down the holiday mood, Poirot. And they meet a young girl, Christine, who's very pale and does not sunbathe. And she says there would be no crime here. And Poirot says there is evil everywhere under the sun. Insert title of the book, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Roll credits.
And Christine says there's an Arlena Stewart present, and she looks like pure evil, actually. And there's a Patrick Redburn who seems to fancy this Arlena Stewart. But he's actually married. So that's not good. And they say that she's a siren. She turns everything to evil. Oh, hold on. Patrick's Christine's wife. So that's why she doesn't like Arlena Stewart, because her husband is running around after her. So they turn every head but her own, essentially. And we talk. So let's see. That's part one. So there's a wealthy but unhappy person called Rosamond, and Poirot talks to her, and she's like, well, I'm unhappy, but do I really need a husband and kids? Is that what I really need? And there's a Kenneth Marshall, and he also has a wife. She talks to her friend that she knew when he was younger. This is Kenneth Marshall, which is, he always makes bad marriages, okay? And he once married a woman who was accused of poisoning her previous husband. And they say, there's Arlena. She's going to steal that Miss Patrick Redfern from his good old wife, Christine. Someone should do something. Arlena's stepdaughter is a girl called Linda, and she hates this siren stepmother as well. So I don't know if this is a spoiler or if it's obvious, but can you guess who's going to die?
Poirot.
Ah, no. Stepmother Arlena.
That would have been a real twist.
That would have been. That happens in one book. Curtain, the end of Poirot or something it's called. He still solves the case.
Dead, he still solves it. Okay.
So, Kenneth asks Arlena, not to meddle with Redfern and all this kind of stuff. Don't worry, everybody knows what Arlena's like. She's a siren and whatever. Christine is just jealous, but she asks her husband, look, leave. Please don't run around after this girl. Okay. And Poirot reflects and he says, a murder is inevitable. We all know that Arlene's going to get killed by someone at this point. Rosa then, this girl Rosamond, who runs a business, she says to Kenneth, you should divorce your wife. So Arlena Stewart is Kenneth's wife, right? So she's also married, but all these guys are running around after her. And Rosa says, you know, you should really divorce her. She, you pick bad wives. You know, you picked that murderer before. And, you know, this girl's, like, got all the guys flirting with her. You should divorce her. And he says, I don't like this modern idea. He's a stiff upper lip Brit, you know. There's no easy outs till death do us part, even if you're not happy, you know. And now we meet a Mr. Blatt. And he says, we should have all gone someplace more lively. I don't like this place. What I do like to do is go sailing. And Redfern used to come sailing with me, but now he's too busy running around after Arlena Marshall. So I've lost my sailing partner. So that's another, but slightly lesser motive to be annoyed at Arlena. Next day, the beach is empty. And a bunch of people, Brewer and Redburn and everyone, have all gone off in a boat. And they find the Pixie Cove. And in the Pixie Cove, Arlena is lying face down, strangled. The chief constable arrives and he says, oh, Poirot, old boy, you're here. We need you on the case. So this happens in all of these where the police are just like, let's totally break procedure. Poirot is here. Let's let him lead up the case. He's better than all of us combined. And Poirot says, yeah, you know, I saw Arlena go off on her boat. She told me, don't tell anyone where I am. She was meeting someone. And she dies. Now, these closed room mysteries, we need to get it down to 4 or 5 suspects, right? So they immediately say, we interviewed all the hotel staff. They've all been here for many years. They all check out. They're clean. It wasn't them. So that kind of that line happens in almost every Agatha Christie, where they have to like rule out all the other people and the domestic staff and whatever else. Otherwise, you know, it would be too complicated. The husband inherited some money 2 years ago. Or sorry, the husband says that the dead woman inherited some money. So they think, well, is that his motive? Did he kill her to get her money? And he says, well, I was in my room typing letters the whole time. I couldn't have done it. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's fair. You were typing. And then later they start to think, hold on. Could he have typed those letters beforehand? And then they start doing silly things where they like time how long it takes to type the letter, and then run to the beach and all this kind of stuff. And did anyone hear him typing the letter? And they say the enemy, all of her enemies were women because she was stealing their husbands. But a woman couldn't have strangled her because the killer had big hands. So absolutely no woman could possibly have done it.
Okay.
So that's weird. Poirot talks to the cop and they talk to Redfern. He says, yeah, I'm infatuated with Arlena. I'll admit it. I met up with her all the time. But today she wasn't meeting me. I was looking for her. So whoever killed her, she went off to meet with someone else. He says, you know, I do love my wife. You probably don't think that. And she was jealous and she was sad. But, you know, she's a little tiny woman. She couldn't have done the killing either. And the cops say, well, she's an alibi anyway. She was with the stepdaughter, Linda, on the beach. And we all know that. But then we think, hold on, Linda did go for a swim at one point. So maybe there was a little free moment there. Christine Redfern says, Arlena, yeah, I thought this would happen. She's always wanting attention from men. She's bound up in jealousy, violence, blackmail, all that kind of stuff. It was bound to happen that someone would kill her. And Poirot says, why do you mention blackmail? And she says, well, I overheard that she was being blackmailed. And then they say, well, look, if she was being blackmailed, well, then why kill her? That's an unrelated crime, right? If you're blackmailing someone, you don't kill them because then you don't get your money. We meet another guy, a Major Barry, but he basically says, I was out all day in my car, so I've got an alibi. And they say, well, actually, that's not an alibi because no one can verify that you were out all day in your car. And then another character, Emily Brewster, also just adds that she doesn't like Arlena, but she did know the people who gave her the inheritance. So some of these like minor characters aren't super important. But they look at Arlena's letters and they find a letter from Redfern admitting that he was infatuated with her. One from a JN, we don't know who that is, who also says that he loved her and he wants to buy her jewelry and things, but he's actually risked a lot of money and needs her to send him a check. And then he's going to work in China.
Okay.
And now out on the beach, they find a pipe and they find that in Pixie Cove, some heroin is stashed away. So that's a weird little curveball. And I'm not going to tell you the answer, but I'm going to ask, can you guess who killed Arlena? Who done it?
So we have the main suspects of, so there's Kenneth. I have the names pulled up. I don't know who did it, but I just... So there's Kenneth. There's Patrick. Who else was there that you were mentioning?
So there's Patrick Redfern and Christine Redfern. They're the couple. Christine's this little woman, so we think she couldn't have done the killing, even though she has a motive to be jealous. Patrick was going off with Arlena, but today she's meeting someone else. Kenneth is her husband, who just seems to accept that she's like flirting with all these other men. And then you've got Arlena's stepdaughter, Linda, who also didn't like her. And those are the main suspects. You also have random people like Major Barry driving about in his car.
Okay. Yeah, so I feel like, yeah, she loves red herrings in her books. So the most obvious people are likely not the ones who did it, right?
Sure,
that's generally how she seems to work. I mean, I've only read one book by Agatha Christie, so it's going to be generally someone unexpected, but kind of makes sense if you have all the pieces for it. I have a feeling that's like the small person that could be a red herring, or there could be two people who did it. I wonder if. I don't know. I wonder if like Kenneth and Linda might have done it together.
Okay.
Like the father and daughter. That's just a guess.
Yeah, I think that's a fair guess. And your mind's working in some of the right ways. Okay, interesting.
Yay!
Well, if anyone wants to know the answer, I'm not telling you that that's necessarily true, but you're getting there.
Yeah,
if anyone wants to know the answer, go ahead and read Evil Under the Sun and have a detecting day.
Weird.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.